Well, let's assume you've been smart and choosing good board members, and that you have a variety of inputs and opinions that can actually help your business scale. So now your choice is, do I use this time to do a PowerPoint flip through, or do I use this time to actually deal with some core issues?
This is Revenue Makers, the podcast by Sixth Sense, investigating successful revenue strategies that pushed companies ahead.
So Simon, are you feeling a little nervous about something that might be coming up, or ready to go?
A little nervous. A little nerves are good, but also so ready to go. We have our board meeting tomorrow. And so what better way to prep for that than maybe have a member of the board on the podcast?
It's good for two things. One, we can just really get into the prep, talk about it, but also, so Gary Service, who is an operating partner at Insight Partners, he is part of our board, but sits on a lot of different boards. And really is at a unique position because he's an operating partner again. So operating meaning he was a marketer. He's been in business. So he's sitting from that lens of done the work that's being done by the people that are in that particular meeting, the executive team. And so he's really looking at it from a lens of how's the business running versus a much more sort of financial investor type of point of view, which we'll talk about as well. So really, we got into some really actionable insights that I thought would be great for anyone who's feeling what you might be feeling right now.
Again, I feel every go-to-market leader listening is going to take away what KPIs to focus on and what boards care about, how to structure your board meetings to get the most out of them. And then, of course, we had to talk AI.
Gary had really, I mean, just distills it down, just a really great perspective on it and what it actually means.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, Gary. So the topic of the episode is really to understand what boards care about. And I would venture to guess that what boards care about now versus maybe a couple of years ago is different because of what you like to call unprecedented times. Do you want to share a bit more about that?
Well, as you and I chatted, I think everyone who's involved in the venture world has been going through unprecedented times, you know, starting with COVID, going through, you know, this crazy dislocation that occurred after COVID, then a recession, then a funding issue, then a bank failing, then like the list goes on and on of things. It's just a lot for many of our companies to deal with. It's just a lot of change. And that change has pushed a different funding environment, a different exit environment. And that impacts how companies are making choices about their runway. How much runway do they need? What are the things that the board is expecting the company to do? And I would say, first and foremost, the idea of growth at any cost, that stopped, you know, sometime in 21. And I think the much more of a rational growth plan that the spend and go to market matches the growth. It is unacceptable to have a growth engine that you're spending more on than is the revenue it's producing. I mean, it sounds like obvious. The fact that I have to say it is actually kind of crazy. And I think the boards are just saying, you know, we want efficient growth. We want growth that makes sense for the industry you're in, for where you are in your life cycle. And tell me how you're going to be a Rule of 40 company. Tell me how you're going to get to being profitable. God forbid, profitability. Who even knew that was a possibility?
Yeah. So definitely, you know, unprecedented times. You mentioned Rule of 40. What other KPIs do you feel boards are honing in more on? And I know you have a really interesting point of view around the difference between metrics and KPIs.
I think that for most of our portfolio companies, we're as marketers overrun by metrics. It used to be really hard to measure marketing. Now we measure everything, whether it's false precision or not. We can have a discussion on that another day. But the key point here, and the thing that I think matters, is really much more about the metrics you need to optimize a tactic are different than the KPIs that you measure the success of a function. And so if you're in marketing or sales, you need to move up a level for the board. They need to be hearing about what a KPI really is meant to do, be an indicator of the health of your business. These should be not 20 things, should be a handful of KPIs that you know for your business. I can tell you, you know, as a marketer, I would be always looking for, I want to know what my conversion rates are. I want to know what my ASPs are. I want to know what my selling cycle is. I want to know how much pipeline I'm contributing. And I want to know how much it's costing to create that pipeline. If I tell you that, you will know the overall health of marketing.
That's a good segue too, because you mentioned, you know, your background, you're a marketer, right? And you've been an operator. And I guess talk about the difference between operators and financial people, because of who's sitting on a board is a very different type of approach. What they're thinking about, what their goals are versus that operator who's thinking about innards, I guess you could say, of the business.
I agree with that characterization. It's a little bit of Mars and Venus here going on. If you are a board member, I have a lot of respect, especially not an operator board member like myself, but more a true investor perspective. It is an incredible skill that you have in being able to cancel out the noise and focus on what is needed or what you believe is needed at this particular time. And the world is much simpler if you're an investor, because your world works as, if I do this, I get that. And as I tell people all the time in operating roles, you and I can have a beautiful discussion of all the complexity and the details to get right in order to execute on this. But in the end, it has to bubble up to a board level discussion or a CEO level discussion, as it might be, where I believe we need to do this in order to get that. If you can boil it down to that simplicity, you'll get better understanding from your board by not muddying it up with all the details and all the other elements that could be part of it.
Okay, Gary, we're going to hit on a topic that everyone's talking about, and I know you have a strong POV on, and that is AI. I'd love for you to comment on both kind of the operational impact of AI, but also from a product perspective, because so many companies are now adding in a generative AI component to the products. And so how do you think about both of those?
I think a little bit about a talk that I gave over a year ago and was entitled, No One Buys AI. And if you are in this space, you recognize it doesn't matter if it's AI or any particular feature of your product, it's only the benefit that matters. That hasn't changed. And sprinkling AI over your website and on your products, and look, we have AI, isn't going to get people to like your product more. The way to think about AI is there is the lowest common denominator of AI functionality, which I believe is a copilot. Copilots are lovely. They are generically dispatched across just about every platform today. And they perform an interesting service at some level, but they are not truly AI in your product, to be clear. And I think we're just starting to see among our portfolio companies, AI actually being integrated into the offering as net new functionality. And the way I sort of look at the stack is you had, in the BG world before generative, and a group of software point solutions, I'll use Drift as an example, did something very particular about conversation. But the reality is, even if I inject AI in that, that's different than an AI first point solution that is coming to market. Now I have a chat that is completely generative, completely next gen, completely AI. And so I would move to the next piece and say, there's also going to be your platforms, like your six senses of the world. They have an inherent advantage of being able to integrate AI right into their platforms, and they're already there. And whether it be what Salesforce does or any of these platforms, they have a built-in advantage in this world. There's this new thing that we just started to experience, which I would call it to be your enterprise LLM, best characterized as the heartbeat of your organization. And so that heartbeat of your organization is driven by the insights that your LLM at an enterprise level gathers. That's telemetry data from your product. That's the CRM data. That is information that's first party, second party, all of that coming together to really drive insights that plug into other platforms that a Sixth Sense may be leveraging. That's your proprietary LLM insights. And so I think AI across software is evolving quite a bit in that regard.
So in that evolution, I think there's been this sort of, everyone's, what are you doing? What's your AI strategy, whether you're a marketer, salesperson, whatever it may be. Despite the fact that we're in a world of budget cuts and efficient growth and do more with even less and all that, do you think that budgets and priorities are opening up, even though everything else might be tight? So, you know, you need to invest. We know there's efficiencies there. Like, are you seeing that where there's suddenly line items for generative that weren't there before?
I think it's a really interesting time. I think that the board wants to see the impact of AI, but they don't want you to invest too much without showing that you're going to have impact from it. And I think if I were to both put a board hat on as well as an operator hat, I think our goal should be to look at a workflow instead of what I would call random acts of AI, like, oh, I can write a blog quicker, or, oh, I can do emails quicker. How do I meaningfully change my process and workflow by injecting AI and do the hard work of measurement and what it looks like at the other end? You know, I had a portfolio company that I work with that basically said, you know, we run a ton of ads and we basically eliminated our design team. We're able to generally do the design. We also got rid of all of our stock photography. And so measurable savings, better process. And by the way, the lift on the ads is better. They can take an image and change that around to work in Europe or Mexico. It doesn't matter. Like, we know that image works. We'll just generatively change it to the way we want it to be because we know it performs. And that's incredible power. It's better, more effective, and cheaper. That should be a no-brainer.
The impact of AI on our internal workflow has been huge. You know, in the past quarter, 18% of total pipeline was generated using conversational email, 25% of new business pipeline, believe it or not. If you'd asked me a year and a half ago even what I think the impact would be, I would never have even imagined that 25% of new biz pipe could be generated using AI, but it's here and now, so it's crazy.
One of the things that I've gotten comfortable with is I spend all day thinking about this, looking at talking to smart people like you folks and realize this is a really, really small part of the world that is doing this and seeing this. And there are people I talk to that Gen AI thing haven't even like touched it. And so I believe what you're seeing is just the tip of the iceberg. I think what you're seeing in terms of how the generative tools work, but there's a cautionary tale here. I generally say this all the time, that marketers ruin everything. I say that because we are always looking for an advantage, looking to do something better. And what we'll do is we'll hammer that advantage into obsolescence. Everyone will do it, and therefore it won't work. What's going to happen is we're going to generate better emails, more effective emails. And then my co-pilot that runs on Outlook is going to read those emails, determine what to do and respond to those emails. We're not. And we're going to be back where we were again at some level, which I don't have a really good answer yet for what we're going to need to do. But I will say that we're going to need more authentic ways to communicate with people and connect with them. I believe live events, field events, those kinds of things are going to take on a very important role. Your job will be less to get them to open an email or click on a digital ad and more to get them to a place where you're actually speaking to them. And it's going to be hard for BDRs and SDRs to connect on the phone, but maybe that role morphs and becomes more about how do I create an authentic way to connect with you that makes sense. And so we're at the early innings. So like there's a lot of change coming down the pipe.
A little bit earlier, we talked about the distinction of product-based AI features. So this is still AI related, okay, versus operations. But when you're looking and you're sitting on boards that are, I mean, these are tech companies, a lot of software, and you're thinking about the development of the platform, the roadmap, and the conversation about adding feature set and what are you going to do to competitive edge. I'm sure the conversation of, okay, let's go build something or let's go start acquiring companies. Can you talk a little bit about like that mentality, build versus buy, and how it maybe it's changed in the last couple of years and how you look at it?
The issue for us is about first competitive advantage. And in the old world, there was an investment in software that should create a competitive moat for your company that should be defensible over a period of time. What I think is changing is that the amount of time that you get to have that competitive advantage is getting shorter. So if you believe that to be the case, then the issue becomes, how do I determine how much resources to put in for what ROI? And if you believe that that ROI is going to not make sense from an internal development, but you could get to market quicker with an acquisition and therefore drive the revenue sooner that drives a higher ROI, that will argue for a buy versus build decision. And I think it's going to be a very different decision because we don't have the time necessarily to do the full builds.
How do executives get the most out of a board meeting? Because it can end up morphing into this operational readout of we got to show you all the metrics and hopefully it's not like a top of funnel traffic number, like you said, but all the operational metrics for all the functions versus actually using the wisdom in the room and the experience in the room from the board to get guidance on where the company needs to go. And I think it's a tricky balance, but how should we think about structuring the meeting itself?
So it begins with a decision of the executive team, how they want to use that meeting. And we have seen a huge variance in those choices. Sometimes there are teams, which I think, by the way, this is the world's worst choice, decide, you know, we don't want to give the board too much information. Like, we're going to give them just what they need. And that generally comes to bite you in the rear when things don't go the way you hoped. Absolutely don't do that. The second issue is, how are you going to use that time most productively? Well, let's assume you've been smart at choosing good board members and that you have a variety of inputs and opinions that can actually help your business scale. So now your choice is, do I use this time to do a PowerPoint flip through, or do I use this time to actually deal with some core issues? Because what you should do is, here are our KPIs. Here's how things are looking across our business from engineering through marketing, through sales, through CS, through all the functional areas. And then you should have some topics that are good, beefy topics, not for you to tell them about, but to get their input and their recommendations on. And if you're using your board that way to solve the meaty problems, to talk about the issues, and that can be a variety of issues. It could be competitive threats. It could be product functionality issues. It could be, you know, crowded messaging and positioning and what you're trying and what you're seeing, whatever it is, but use the board because hopefully they've seen more than you have. And they have more data points and more companies that they're experiencing. They'll say, you know, I have another board that I'm on that they're dealing with this exact issue. Here's what they did. That's getting the wisdom of the board, not using it as a check the box activity.
So, Gary, we have a question that we usually ask every guest on the podcast, but I'm going to change it up a little bit. So the question that we normally ask is, what's the most ridiculous thing that you've been asked to do in your career? But I'm going to change it to be, what's the most ridiculous thing you've seen happen in a board meeting?
I was in a board meeting where one of the people there was going to be let go, but he was in the board meeting. And we had to somehow navigate the situation of literally asking him to leave the room because we didn't want him to be in on the discussion without letting him know, because he hadn't been let go yet, but he was soon to be let go. And then we had to come up with this elaborate farce, and we took out some other people just to make it seem it wasn't just him. It was just craziness. It's like, how can you plan so poorly that you would put us in that situation? It puts into, you know, question the wisdom of the CEO, who should be, you know, better orchestrating what was going on there. But that was crazy. You can imagine the fun.
Well, that definitely qualifies. So, Gary, thank you so much for joining us. I think this was super actionable for someone, especially Simon, who has a board meeting in less than 24 hours. But for our listeners out there too, some really, really great insights, thoughts. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Revenue Makers.
Do you have a revenue project you were asked to execute that had wild success? Share your story with us at sixthsense.com/revenue, and we might just ask you to come on the show. And if you don't want to miss the next episode, be sure to follow along on your favorite podcast app.